no issue touches the hearts of Hoosiers more than the need to keep our children here, if that is their choice, to first arrest and then reverse the brain drain that now leads half of the graduates of our universities to leave the state, two-thirds of those who study science and engineering and technical disciplines. And meanwhile, no objective could be more urgent or more strategic to our future than creating true excellence across higher education in Indiana. And we seek to make a bold and strategic step, an investment in those two areas, through scholarships, Hoosier Hope scholarships for our most talented young people, to keep them here in the state, not just for school, but thereafter, and to bring to Indiana the very finest scholars, laboratories, research programs, the kind that will mark us for greatness, the kind that will lead to the high-paying jobs that future Hoosiers deserve to have. I want to thank the presidents behind me who have worked with us now for months to try to sculpt a plan that can achieve these two goals. And we think we have one that is absolutely practical, and one we hope that Hoosiers of all kinds can come together on. Let me ask President Herbert, then President Jischke, and then the other presidents to say anything that they are so moved to say.
Thank you very much, Governor. I want to especially thank you for proposing a transformational agenda for Hoosier Higher Education. The plan that you have announced this morning will have a very significant impact, a very positive impact on Indiana University, indeed all of our institutions, as well as the entire state. One of the things that I think stands out is that greater state investments in financial aid and also in attracting more distinguished scholars to our state will transform the Hoosier economy. It is without question a major investment in the future of our state. First, the scholarship plan will enhance our ability to create and retain a larger and better educated workforce. This will give Hoosiers an advantage in a world where the key to earning is more and more important, is tied to learning. Second, by increasing Indiana's ability to attract more of the world's most eminent scholars, the program will assure that students receive even higher quality instruction at all of our institutions. And third, the addition of these new eminent scholars will enable our universities to increase the volume of cutting-edge research that translates into new businesses and many more jobs for our citizens. And finally, and I think this is especially important, history has proven that marginal investments will not yield transformational results. We must think big and we must act boldly. The governor has done exactly that. This proposed program will clearly make a difference, and I want all of you to know that Indiana University welcomes the opportunity to work with Governor Daniels, with members of the Indiana legislature, and also our sister institutions to ensure the success of this outstanding program that, again, will make a significant difference for the future of our state. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. This is a very, very important day for the state of Indiana, and an especially important day for Indiana higher education. Our state has an amazing range of opportunities in a whole variety of economic sectors that hinge on Indiana having a strong, I would argue, stronger higher education system. We can be a major player in this high-tech advanced manufacturing economy that is going to dominate this new century. Governor Daniels' proposal will position Indiana as a leader nationally by making our university stronger and by supporting our very best students as they pursue their degrees here in Indiana, and by encouraging them to remain in Indiana once they have completed their studies. This is a strategic investment in our universities. It will have a very, very major impact on our ability to contribute to Indiana, its quality of life, the strength of its economy. We are very eager at Purdue to build on the successes we have had and to become an even more major player in the economy and future growth of Indiana. We applaud the governor for this visionary initiative, and we pledge our support to see that this proposal is enacted. We couldn't be happier today with this development. Thank you.
When we look around the state, we see many beautiful aspects of this state, but when we compare Indiana with states all around the country, we don't really excel in some of the natural resources that make other states distinctive. We don't have the highest mountains, we don't have the biggest rivers, or we're not next to an ocean, but we can have the very best higher education system in the country. With an investment like this, we can make higher education in Indiana a destination point for citizens all around the country, and we can truly realize the hopes of future generations of Hoosiers. The reason why these scholarships and one aspect of the program is called Hoosier Hopes is because we will give future generations hope for many, many, many decades to come. We will enable every talented Hoosier to pursue higher education and to realize their dream of staying in Indiana and building a stronger Indiana economy. We hope to bring some of the most talented researchers and faculty members to this state to build our economy, and we at Ball State are delighted with the governor's desire to invest boldly and strategically in higher education.
Speaking for Indiana State, and Governor, we do applaud you for taking this most dramatic step. This is an important moment and opportunity in Indiana's future. It's very clear if you look at the world that competition, not only nationally but globally, is intensely fierce. And in order to be competitive in the future, we're going to need to take significant steps locally in order to remain competitive. This is a major move for higher education in Indiana, and we applaud it. It's going to have the opportunity to attract talent, not only national talent, but global talent, for focused and specific kinds of work, but it's also going to enable us to keep Hoosiers, young talented Hoosiers, through the Hoosier Hope Scholarship Program, to keep them here and help them become increasingly competitive as well. We think this is a very, very important initiative on the part of the governor, and we too pledge our support to help you with it.
Governor, today my trustees are meeting here from around the state, from Gary, from Evansville, from Fort Wayne, to Aurora, and they have supported, they've sent a resolution today supporting this, what we're talking about doing here. This is a wonderful thing for Ivy Tech. We talk about Bloomington, the jobs that are going to be there, and so workforce is our ballgame at Ivy Tech. So I can't say much of how we talk about helping these first-generation students, Hoosiers, because we're trying to help Hoosiers in this state. And so this is a very remarkable move on my part for you, Governor, to say that you really are concerned about helping Hoosiers stay in this state. Thank you.
Good morning. On behalf of Vincennes University, we too salute the governor and his staff for what we think is a very, very bold initiative. I think it's important to understand about this program is the fact that it is sustainable. It has a long-term commitment, and I think that is a significant piece of what we're doing here this morning. And so, Governor, I do applaud you for not only the initiative for attempting to keep Hoosiers in Indiana, but more importantly, we are looking at four-year students, we're looking at two-year students, and we're looking at an opportunity that will ultimately touch every Hoosier. And we applaud your efforts. Thank you.
I want to join the other presidents in thanking the governor and commending him for taking this far-ranging view of what's best for the state of Indiana. Sometimes I think we confuse the issue of the costs of doing the business of the state versus the investments that the state must make in the future. This is clearly an investment. There's a famous line in Barbarians at the Gate which says every dime spent here comes back disguised as a dollar. And if we look at what other states have done when they've invested in higher education, there's been a very clear return to the state. It's a return that grows as every year goes by. It buttresses the tax base rather than costing the tax base, and it raises the fortunes of everyone. It's very important to to the universities and to the state as a whole. And if implemented in the way the governor's proposing, it's not just going to have an impact, it's going to have a profound impact on the state of Indiana. Again, we thank you for this.
Bernie Mills, St. Joseph's College, and chairman of the Independent Colleges of Indiana. Certainly, we were delighted when we received the notice of this. This is a remarkable thing. Our state has always been a leader. When you look at the rankings of the states, our efforts in higher education are very good, and we're pleased with that, and certainly it has had a big difference in our state over time. The program for need-based students that we have here in Indiana is exceptional. Now, this complements that in a couple of ways. It does make us a leader in education, more so now, with having both programs for faculty development and excellence, as well as for keeping our students and our good students in the state and helping us develop both education as well as our development of our other industries in the state of Indiana. In a sense, this is an engine for educational excellence sent into the future. It's remarkable. We applaud it. And we're looking forward to working with it. Thank you, Governor.
Everyone will be available now for your questions. Let me just make one more brief comment. I was remembering this morning, I'm frequently reminded by Hoosiers, that the Hoosier Lottery was initially presented to the citizens of this state as being intended to benefit education. And for various reasons, it just didn't work out that way. This proposal contemplates investing, not all, but something a little under a third of the future value coming from the lottery in the best purpose I know, and that is the one we've come here to discuss today. And I, for one, believe it will be vastly preferable to have those dollars in the pockets of students, our best students, and their families, and in the new investments, the new excellence that it will bring to our campuses than for any other purpose I can think of. Questions, please.
How will you sell this to the legislature when some members of your own party are saying this is one step too far on privatization?
Well, the first comment made was made in ignorance. Apparently the person who made it didn't think it wasn't listening during the briefing and reacted to the idea that we might use all the future proceeds of the lottery, and as you now know, that's not the plan at all. So I have very, very high hopes that properly understood, as now I hope it will be, we're going to have broad bipartisan support for this, and I predict that. I would say to those who have questions about it, what's your plan? What is your plan about the brain drain? What is your plan to lift us over the next 10 years to a position we really must have? We're focusing on the marvelous opportunities here, but let us note that, as always, the cost of inaction would be tremendous. We are not now where we will need to be a state that leads in education and the income that flows from it. So in my judgment, we can't afford not to do this, and I predict to you that a broad bipartisan majority of the members of the General Assembly will agree.
This is for the university presidents. Do you folks plan to use your influence, because I'm assuming every legislature's got some kind of school or somewhere in their district, to get a hold of lawmakers and maybe on the fence, not sure about this, to convince them that from your perspective this is a good idea?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Take it to the bank.
Let me follow up on that question to the university presidents and then to the governor. Each of your universities has been outspoken about diversifying student bodies and diversifying faculties. African Americans disproportionately play the Hoosier Lottery, so it is their dollar bills that are helping to fund this bold initiative. However, these are merit scholarships, and merit scholarships, as I understand the criteria, will disproportionately not go to African Americans. So how will this scholarship program help increase the diversity of your student bodies, A? And then B, how will this fund for faculty help to improve the diversity of hiring more African-American faculty, of which some of your universities are doing good at, and some of you up there are doing a horrible job? And then I have to follow up with the governor.
Well, let me just answer, and anybody else can chime in. First of all, as Dr. Mills pointed out, we have quite excellent needs-based programs in the state right now. the envy of many other states. I'm not saying they couldn't be better, but on that front we've done very well, and those dollars go very disproportionately to minority kids. The 21st Century Scholars Fund is a good one, and I look forward to seeing it continue. Secondly, I can't think of anything that would be better for the minority citizens of this state than a much stronger economy, and we are not going to have that. When half of Indiana's college graduates leave the state, and two-thirds of those studying the science and math that is, and engineering that is most predictive of future economic success are leaving the state. And so this is good for every Hoosier, and I would argue at least as valuable to those currently behind on life's ladder.
For the independent colleges, one thing I think this does, speaking off the top of my head, that's not a good thing to do, but one of the things I think it does is, for students in, say, high school and junior high school, minority students as well as any other students, the idea that college is more accessible now, not just based on need, but if you do well in the classroom, if you work hard, you might get an academic scholarship. That lifts the spirit. And there's no reason not to lift the spirit, and this will do that.
Could I respond to your question? The number of African American students at Purdue today is at a record level, highest it's ever been. It's increased every year for the last 6 years. We have more than doubled the number of African American faculty at Purdue, and I believe we will be able to compete for the very best black scholars in the country with this program. We're going to be able to say to them that we can give you the kind of startup package, the endowed chairs, that are key to competing for these talented people. And I think the track record is we can do it. This is a tool that we will use very, very aggressively, and you can hold us accountable in 5 years. The numbers will be up. Take it to the bank.
Governor, federal law has very rigid restrictions on lottery marketing, as you may know. And federal law makes no mention of franchising operations of state lottery. Has your staff fully researched Title 18, Section 1301 and 1307 of the federal law that governs lottery marketing? And are you and your staff confident that this franchising proposal that you have offered for the Hoosier Lottery will meet federal scrutiny?
Yes. Kevin.
Governor, Mr. Mills was talking a little bit about the HOPE. I remember a program in Georgia with the HOPE Scholars, which Giselle Miller started,
right.
And the HOPE there was a B.
I checked, and there's no trademark on it. You're right. You're right. You're right.
That's what I wondered. Was this at all?
As they once said about the Panama Canal, we stole it fair and square.
Was this modeled after that goal? When I first heard this, yeah. I thought that B average might be applied here. Obviously, it's not going to be a limited
yeah.
number. But explain to me, was that a model?
Absolutely. As we always do, we look at other states. Many other states and many other issues have pioneered, and while Indiana did not. I'm always in favor of plagiarism wherever possible, outside the academic context.
Thank you.
And yes, Georgia is one of the best models out there. I would point out that, first of all, they've had a very good success record. They've had a very good success record at leveraging the matching dollars, which are contemplated in the World Class Scholars Fund here, not 1-to-1 or 2-to-1, but closer to 4 or 5-to-1. And I would hope that we might have that kind of success, too. Secondly, we do go beyond what Georgia did by suggesting that the loans be forgiven over 3 years. There is no requirement in Georgia that the student stay in the state afterward, and we would add that, that as Martin said, very strong encouragement. Think of that $20,000 over 3 years as a $7,000 after-tax pay raise that the student can achieve by staying in Indiana, and we believe that would be a very powerful incentive for some of our best kids to be here, where I think most of them really want to be anyway.
Governor, could you explain how you came up with the $1 billion thing? What makes you think that's the value mm-hmm. of the lottery? And do you have any companies that are already interested in franchising here?
The answer to the second question is yes, though we think there'll be an awful lot of interest in doing this. Secondly, we think these are reasonable assumptions. Our We always try to be conservative. In the case of major moves, we were very conservative. In the case of tax amnesty, we were conservative, it turns out, by a factor of 3 or 4. Here are the assumptions. It is based on the idea of a 30-year franchise. It is based on a net present value of the lottery that we think is at least $3.5 billion. Many people believe it's more, by the way, but we think that's a cautious number. And it's based on a growth rate that is pretty modest of 5%. It is further based on, as you know, the state continuing today's level of receipts and actually sharing in the future growth if there is some. Please have a look for your own benefit at the very volatile history of lottery revenue. It is sometimes dropped by as much as 1/4 in a single year. Among the merits, I think, of this plan is that it would lock in for the state a very stable and modestly growing amount of revenue over time. So, the value of the lottery, we think, on conservative assumptions is more like $3.5 billion, we propose to use something under a third of that. We believe that a billion is a reasonable, possibly a conservative number for what would be bid. Is that clear enough? I know
did
that.
Did you say what the company is that is interested in this? And
multiple companies, I think, have already.
Had negotiations?
No. But we've noted their interest when they've called. Kevin, you've been waiting. Kara, you covered?
Governor.
Nikki.
If we get the remaining 200 always every year, how is it that a private company is going to be able to squeeze more out of the lottery? I mean, right now the profits all come to the state, so presumably they still have to make even more above that to get some money themselves. Are we going to give them additional gaming options?
We would tightly regulate it, and the legislature should help determine that. Let me just make this point. The lottery is an anomaly. It is the only form of gambling that the state owns and operates. We don't own the horse tracks. We franchise and then regulate them tightly. We don't own the riverboats, not a one. We license and regulate them tightly. And I'm just proposing we do the very same thing with this particular form of gambling. And what someone would be bidding on is the potential growth over time at a modest rate of lottery revenues. Now, the risk would be on them, please note. And for those who say they want the state government to have its hands on each and every penny that might come in the future, I say I'd rather have that money in the pockets of students and their families. I'd rather have that money invested strategically in the best universities in America and the world. There'll be plenty of money for tomorrow's politicians to play with.
And will the $1 billion or whatever the figure would turn out to be, would it last over the entire 30-year period?
Well, important question. Please note in the materials, this is important. We see the Hoosier Hope Scholarship Fund as lasting in perpetuity and helping close to 2,000 of our best students each year to go to an Indiana school of their choice and to stay in the state afterwards. I propose that the other portion, the World Class Scholars Program, be spent down over a decade, a crash program, if you will, to take us from where we are to greatness over that 10-year period, and thereby begin receiving what I believe would be enormous returns and dividends on those investments immediately and over a compact period of time.
Governor, you've dealt yourself coming into office with some of those kinds of programs. Crossroads 2000, I think it was called, program for roads where the state is still paying off bonds for roads that are already built and there's no more money coming in from the state. Would a future governor be facing that sort of situation in 10 years, suddenly there's no more money, it's a little hard to believe the university presidents when you want the program to continue?
Well, first let's note that unless we do what I propose, there won't be any money at all, not in year 11 or 10 or 9 or 1. We'd be happy to talk with the legislature about spending it over a longer period, but my belief is that for that portion of the program, I would like to make a big move and make it now. And 10 years is a long time, but I believe that if we do amortize down the fund as well as spend the earnings, we will, and then we leverage it, I hope as successfully as Georgia did, we will have invested billions of dollars and made a tremendous difference. And I would rather make it over a reasonable period of time, like 10 years, than dribble it out ad infinitum.
There's some speculation that this could lead to the expansion of the need?
It certainly need not, and that goes straight to the question of how we decide to regulate it. But again, we regulate riverboats very, very tightly today. We regulate horse racing very, very tightly. There's no reason we can't regulate this too, and we'll talk to the General Assembly. That's a legitimate concern, and I would share it. And once again, the assumption that produces a figure something like $1 billion assumes very modest growth in lottery revenue. That would be consistent with tight regulation.
Do you recommend that they consider allowing additional gambling options, such as Keno or other games that aren't allowed now?
I don't have a strong view, but I'm not in favor of an expansion of the gaming that we have, and I don't think it would be necessary in order to achieve the kind of value we think is we're talking about here. I've been against an expansion of gaming, and that's all I have to say about that.
Which came first, the programs that you've been talking about there, the funding source for those?
Always the programs. Always. It doesn't matter whether we're talking about closing a multi-billion dollar transportation gap. It doesn't matter whether we're talking about fixing the worst welfare system in America and for the benefit to taxpayers and its clients and our economy, too. It doesn't matter whether we're talking about providing better health insurance and improving health outcomes for citizens. We first think about ends, then like those, and then we think about means. So, and this is the one means I could find, and I find absolutely no reason not to take that step. But the objective here is Hoosier Hope scholarships and world-class universities and the best research done anywhere on the globe. And if somebody's got a better way to get there, bring it on. But doing nothing's not a good option, and we're not going to tax and borrow our way to those goals.
Governor, the budget figures that are projected to come out later today, what I've been told, is relatively flat.
That's not true. I'll have more to say about it next week, but as you look at them, just remember two things, please. First of all, the structural deficit that you were familiar with for many years is gone. Instead of a starting point of minus $800 million or something like it, we had between a $200 and $300 million surplus last year, and we will again this year. So the base is $200 or $300 million in the black. The revenue estimates, which I have found to be, by the way, very reliable up to this point, I commend the people who make them, suggest growth of between 4 and 5%. And that is an additional more than half $1 billion of new revenue on top of that base. So just remember that for perspective's sake. We're talking about lots of money beyond what the state is spending this year. And I'll have more to say next week about how we cautiously, prudently might spend that. But we were talking about lots of new money beyond today's spending levels.
Does everything need scholarship amount when tuition is higher than $5,000 for a lot of these places? And, I mean, do you think that's really going to keep the best students here?
Really, that was one of the things we discussed at great length in multiple meetings with the presidents, and I would invite you to talk to them. But I've come, and initially, and I've thought about numbers higher, but I would invite you to think about it the way I mentioned a little earlier. That's the way the presidents have helped me to think about it. Think about $20,000 as the amount of this grant and how big a number that might be to a person starting their working days. And once again, for given over 3 years, it's absolutely equivalent to a nearly $7,000 after-tax pay increase. And so it's one of those things the legislature ought to talk about and we ought to explore further, but it was the product of our conversations in this group, and these folks are experts about these matters, and I'm pretty confident that we're in the right ballpark.
The release of
surprised that the universities aren't already providing scholarships to the state's very brightest students?
Well, I think they are, but
can I come in?
Yeah, please.
So who would be the new recipients?
If I could comment on both questions. If you ask what happens to the National Merit Scholars of Indiana, these are our very brightest students. They're scoring in the top one half of 1% of the students nationally. We don't keep a majority of those. More than half leave our state. So there's a big pool of very, very talented students available. And second, I think you're going to find that these scholarships are going to be leveraged up. In addition to the commitment that the state would make, I suspect many of us will supplement these as part of our efforts to recruit these talented students. You're absolutely right. We all work very hard at bringing very bright students to our universities. But one of the things we're finding is the competition has notched up, and we need tools like the Hoosier Hope Scholarships to allow us to compete for these very, very brightest students. And I think it will make an enormous difference.
So let's break there. Everyone here will be available, and you'll want to ask some of them individual questions. Thank you for coming.